Ron, let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline where we find our friend Paul Steigerwald. Steigy, we appreciate you coming on, and I'm wondering what your first reaction was to all of this. I'm presuming yesterday when you heard about it, just what I said on the headlines there, the big story in town, the possible pending sale of the Penguins.
Well, I wasn't surprised that the Penguins, were being purchased necessarily. I didn't know much about who was purchasing them, other than, the obvious name that they're from Boston and they're involved with Fenway and the Red Sox. But upon further investigation, which was really a matter of Googling it, I realized that this is a extremely prestigious sports conglomerate that has essentially flattered the Pittsburgh Penguins by buying them, in my opinion. It's a compliment to the Penguins and how much their brand has really grown and been established here in this market. And then, when you think about it a little further, you realize, well, why would these guys want the Penguins? Well, they've been interested in getting into the NHL. I think it's interesting that they have been operating in a world of non-salary cap teams with Liverpool and the Red Sox, whereas in hockey, and I think they're interested in the NBA, too. There are salary caps, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they apply their expertise to the salary cap world. But I think in the grand scheme of things, guys, it's a tremendous compliment to the Penguins, and I think it's a blessing for Penguins fans to have a company owned by a guy who's got several billion dollars to come in here and really give them a solid foundation for the future.
Paul, do you expect major changes? Maybe not right away, but I mean, usually when companies take over another company, at the top there's changes. I don't know what happens with Morehouse. I don't know what happens with Hextall and Burke. And these guys don't have the same loyalty to Letang and Malkin, maybe, that Mario and Burke will do. Do you expect major changes?
Well, here's what I think. I think change is inevitable, right? I mean, I think the change was coming for the Penguins regardless. Sidney Crosby's not going to live forever. Evgeny Malkin's contract is up, as is Chris Letang's. So change was on the horizon whether the Penguins were purchased by somebody or not. So it's more about how they react to the inevitable change and what they see as the best way to conduct the business going forward, considering that some major assets that belong to the Pittsburgh Penguins at this moment are diminishing assets, and that they're also literally going to not be assets by virtue of their contracts expiring. So I think that if you have a company of their ilk who are very much into analytics, they understand business, they understand the sports business, which is really key, because a lot of guys who come in and billionaires who buy teams don't know anything about sports. These guys, this is their field of expertise, and I think that's a huge benefit to the Penguins. And I think it's a huge benefit to the fans because they're going to make decisions from a position of strength and knowledge, not from some emotional, viewpoint or from some desire to own a toy, because I'm a billionaire now and I like to own a sports team, but I don't know anything about sports, and I'm going to tell you how to run your business. It's not like that. This is a completely different paradigm, and I think for that reason, we should just let it all kind of unfold and be comfortable with the fact that these guys know what they're doing.
Steigy, I think it's inarguable, I think, that Pittsburgh has become a hockey town in terms of producing players, in terms of rinks all over the place, in terms of, we just saw, 633-game sellout streak for the Penguins. But I'm wondering if that translates to the brand, the Penguins brand, after Sidney Crosby leaves. In other words, is there a robust brand beyond Sidney Crosby?
I think there's a huge brand for the Penguins that was developed as a result of the relationship with the youth hockey market, the free game for kids and the things they did in that regard. Also, what they've done philanthropically in the market and how they've tried to proliferate interest in the game by building deck hockey rinks and the other things that they do community-wise through the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation and the Mario Lemieux Foundation. And then when you add to that the fact that the Penguins continue to have a philosophy of trying to entertain people, I don't think you can still be a really entertaining brand hockey-wise without having the greatest player in the world. I think we've been led to think in this market that you can't be successful unless you have Mary Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, Sidney Crosby, and Evgeny Malkin. And that's really not the case. You look at teams like Boston, they still have a strong brand in Boston. They never had the greatest player since Bobby Orr, you know. So, the Kings won a Stanley Cup without the greatest player in the game. It can be done. I think it's more about having really good, offensive players, maintaining your identity as a team that entertains and scores goals. You can still do that without having the greatest player in the world on your team. So, it's going to be paramount that the Penguins find good hockey players. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think people have fallen in love with the game. Yes, Sidney Crosby is kind of the face and the marquee name, associated with the Penguins right now, and will always be on some level, as will Mario. And I think, though, that these people have fallen in love with the sport. And so it's like anything else, though, guys. I don't think anything's changed in Pittsburgh. If you don't win, people don't show up, okay? So these guys obviously care about winning. They've won several championships in baseball and in soccer, and I don't think they're coming to Pittsburgh to lose. So my feeling is that as long as the Penguins win and entertain people doing it, they'll be fine.
Paul, how are obviously Mario and Burkle going to be remembered here? And is Burkle, maybe not get some of the credit that he deserves?
Well, I think that he purposely keeps himself, out of this limelight. And so in that respect, he can't have it both ways. He's not going to get a lot of notoriety because he's not around much. But at the same time, having a billionaire owner who was willing to put his money in to save the Penguins out of bankruptcy and was always there to provide, whatever the organization needed over the years to make itself a more attractive organization for players, free agents, and he did everything in his power to make sure that the ownership or the management here in Pittsburgh had everything they needed to make this team what it is. And if you go and look at that facility and their practice facility and all the things that they've done, that's all because they had an owner who had the resources to do it, okay? But Ron Burkle is not a sports guy. He's in other businesses, and I think his presence has, kind of run its course. But for anyone to diminish what he meant to the Penguins' fortunes, they're being really absurd, because the fact of the matter is, you put $20 million in, which sounds like pennies compared to what this team is being sold for. But at the time, that $20 million saved the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, I give him credit for allowing Mario to be the face of the franchise and to stay out of the way for the most part. And I really think that he does deserve a lot of credit for having helped save the Pittsburgh Penguins and put them in a position to develop the brand the way they have and to put themselves in a position to be able to sell that brand to a company of the stature of Fenway Sports Group.
And what can you say about Mario?
Well, I mean, he's the greatest sports figure in America in terms of, his scope. I mean, no other great player has bought a team and done what Mario's done in this market. And when you look at what Mario's done philanthropically, how he's turned negative situations in his life, cancer, the premature birth of his son, and how he's turned those things into positives, is just an amazing story. Because, you could get down and feel like the world is dumping on you and, oh, woe is me. And that's not how Mario approached this. He took all of these negative things that happened to him, including the back problems and, the adversity that he faced as a player and then as a person. And he turned that around to a magnificent story of success and, one that has far-reaching impact. Like, you talk about a legacy. I mean, this market will always be affected by what Mario has done to build cancer centers and the Austin's playrooms that he's done and all the other money that's been donated to cancer research and everything through his foundation. And then being part of this organization that's done the same thing. I don't think you can underestimate that, guys. I mean, I don't know. What's more meaningful, winning championships or winning championships and then making sure that when you do it, you create this incredible environment for people to get better from cancer and whatever it is. To me, it's a phenomenal story.
Couple more minutes with Paul Steigerwald. One thing that's really interesting to me, Steigy, is that John Henry, the billionaire backer here of Fenway Sports Group, the owner of the Red Sox, owner of Liverpool Football Club, that he had a vision, clearly has a global vision. If you read about the guy, he already has expanded, obviously, with Liverpool. There was talk of him buying another soccer club. He had part of this idea for a European Super League that was a disaster, and he had to apologize to Liverpool people for that idea. But the important thing is he has those ideas. So I'm wondering, with this investment in the Penguins, if there's something more beyond just the success or failure of the Penguins that has him interested in an NHL investment. Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a big part of it. I mean, he's investing in the National Hockey League as much as he's investing in the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, there's still great potential for the league to grow worldwide. The National Hockey League has done almost everything that the NBA has done over time. You know, Gary Bettman came from the NBA, and a lot of what he's done in hockey has been, you know, in kind of following in the footsteps of what the NBA has done. And while the NHL might not be able to expand into China as the NBA has, with the LeBron being the big guy there, but there's still great potential in Europe. I mean, I've always thought there could be a European division in the NHL. I still think people probably think that way. And now with the digital platforms that are available and the different ways that people consume sports, you know, these guys are positioned to be able to take advantage of that. That's their business, you know, and they're going to go and they're going to work with the NHL on better ways. That's my vision of it anyway. And I'm pretty sure that I'm right on that. So I think that they'll look for every possible way to take advantage of the potential global reach of the National Hockey League and do that through their Penguins franchise. So they're part of a team of owners in that league, some really smart guys, like, you know, Vinick in Tampa Bay, and you know, you got some pretty sharp guys in the league now. Ted Leonsis owns a lot of teams. He's always been a forward thinking guy, and there are other owners like that in the NHL now. And I think that that's where the league is going. I mean, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't the league want to expand to Europe? I mean, there's a lot of big cities in Europe that could be NHL franchises someday. It might not be for 5, 8, 10 years. I don't know, but it could happen for sure.
Paul, we're almost 20% into this season. How do you look at this team? You know, obviously the illnesses and injuries, the playoff streak to me could very much be in jeopardy. Are we looking at a downturn before maybe a resurgence down the road?
Well, it seems like the Penguins are kind of starstruck right now. I mean, when's this thing going to end? You know, it's like last year with an unbelievable number of injuries. This year, the COVID issues and injuries and surgeries. And I think that they've been through a lot. And I don't know, you know, the problem with the situation is that, you know, the world keeps turning when the Penguins are having these problems and teams get better, other teams. So I'm more worried about the competition sort of being too far beyond the Penguins' reach when they start to get some traction again. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Penguins turn this thing around and win games. I haven't lost faith in their character as a team and as players and their ability to win hockey games in the NHL. What I am worried about is, though, that the competition might be so fierce in the division they're in that they could end up being in a position where they don't make the playoffs, and that would be unfortunate. But I don't have any doubt that they still have a quality hockey team. I just think there's been a lot of things that worked, you know, beyond their control that they have to overcome, and I don't know how well they're going to be able to overcome it. That's what I'm concerned about.
Steigy, we appreciate you taking the time here at the last minute this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Paul Steigerwald. You know his voice from years and years of Penguins hockey broadcasting.